You cannot judge your success on your feelings. You cannot judge your success on your titles or your circumstances. You cannot judge your success on what you have done or what you have been. The world model for success is one who makes a lot of money, has a lot of things, has a big title, has an expensive car, has an expensive house, wears the latest name brand clothes, and are able to socialize with other successful people. When you evaluate your life and circumstances based on how the world defines success, it's so easy to miss what God is doing in your life. There's only one reason the Bible called Joseph a success, and it was only because the Lord was with him.
Thank you for joining us here at Trinity Church Podcast. Open your hearts and open your Bibles as we join Pastor David Gregg in the preaching of the Word of God.
Every person that has ever brought on the face of this earth has a desire within them to succeed. It's a God-given desire that we've been born with. And I believe that the Bible shows us that the deceiver, the devil, Satan, is the one that tries his best to keep us off course. And the quicker that he can bring failure into our lives, the quicker that he can convince us that we're a failure, the quicker that he can convince us that we will never make it, then his job has been accomplished. The Bible says that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Didn't say he came to compromise with them or negotiate, but he came to destroy the works of the devil. So if Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and yet you and I are walking through life combating Satan, it's because we're not letting Jesus fight our battle. We're trying to fight it. And I just want you to know that I'm not pointing no fingers at nobody, because I am probably the most guilty person here of trying to fight my own battles. The news I have for you is that I have not been successful in fighting my own battles. But the good news I have, the very good news I have, is Jesus has won every battle. He's accomplished everything that he said he would do. I want us to look this morning, Hebrews chapter 13. I want us to look at five verses. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who were in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are also in the body. When I was preparing this week, I had just finished writing a letter to a man in prison. And I had just returned from visiting a lady in prison. And when I read this again, after visiting with them and reading the correspondence between the prisoner that I've been ministering to and visited when he was here locally, I understand why this is put in Scripture, because both people said this to me, one in a letter and one as I visited through the glass on Thursday. You're the first one that has reached out to me since I've been in here. There is a ministry for every single Christian. There's a lot of people that are in prison that are not at the county jail. They're in a prison of life, and they don't know how to get out. Verse 4, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled. For God will judge the sexual immoral and the adulteress. By the way, church, that still means what it says. Adultery is not okay. Sexual immorality is not okay. Verse 5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I want to key in on this verse. Verse 5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Father, I pray this morning that as we have read your word, that our ears will become alive to hear and our hearts will be open to receive your word today and your truth today. We pray it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. You cannot judge your success on your feelings. You cannot judge your success on your titles or your circumstances. You cannot judge your success on what you have done or what you have been. We must only go by the truth of God's word, and God's word is telling us to be content with what we have. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Every one of us have to be careful when it comes to money. He did not say it was wrong to have money. What he said was it was wrong to love money. In other words, for money to have you. Why is that so important? We've all been trained and taught that we should work hard. We should get a good education so we can make a lot of money. Money buys stuff. And all of us are influenced by stuff. The world model for success is one who makes a lot of money, has a lot of things, has a big title, has an expensive car, has an expensive house, wears the latest name brand clothes, and are able to socialize with other successful people. That's the world. But even in church, we have models for success. We view families that live in big homes and drive expensive cars or drive a new car and fancy clothes. They must be successful Christians. And I pray this morning that we not get caught in that delusion. Success is not what you have, but it's based on who you have that's in control of your life. Jesus is the only one that can give you the guarantee that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Obamacare can't do that. Every person in life, let me repeat that, every person in this life will disappoint you in some way. They will fall short of meeting all of your expectations and all of your needs. But Jesus said, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Jesus is the great champion. He went on to say that I will supply all your needs according to my riches in glory. We all want to be successful. We all want to do well in life. And I think the word is very clear that God wants us to prosper. He wants us to be the head and not the tail. Let's look at 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Scripture we're all familiar with. Beloved, 3 John 1 and 2. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Let me read that in the Amplified. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way. Everybody say every way. Prosper in every way, that your body may be well, even as I know your soul keeps well, and it too prospers. We were all born with a desire to be successful and accomplish things in life. Do not ever let anyone tell you that God does not want you to be blessed and to prosper. Just read it. Do you really think that it makes God jump up and down with joy when we can't pay our bills? Do you think God is sitting on the throne smiling when we're having difficulty and we're filled with fear and confusion and anger? The Bible says that our Father is full of compassion. He's full of love for us. The Bible says that He is aware of even the little sparrows and makes sure that they have provision every day of their lives. So how much more does He care for those whom He calls His children? I just finished my notes, and Pastor Jim, that's going to be with us in a couple of Sundays, sent me a Facebook message. And he had stepped out on his porch and he had taken a picture of a sparrow that was up on in protection of his of the elements, is up in a corner. And Brother Jim's text message is, God even is taking care of the sparrows. I believe I'm speaking to people today that want more of God. You want more of His grace to abound in your life. You want your life to count. You want to be filled with a meaning. And you want to accomplish God's plan for your life. So how can you tell if you're going the right direction? Do you measure the right direction by your success of material things? How can you truly know if your success is right or not? If we look at the world tells us to measure success by our titles, our awards, our individual accomplishments, and our material possessions. But this kind of life becomes the endless pursuit of fame and fortune, and unfortunately, it's what millions of people give their lives to every day when they wake up. Listen to me closely, church. The Bible gives us a very different definition of what true success looks like. It has nothing to do with what you have or where you live. But it has everything to do with who you have. Everybody hear me? I love the story of Joseph. I read it again. I looked at some other passages. But Joseph's story, to me, just is incredible. Let's look at, matter of fact, some scripture in Genesis 39 and verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. I want to read this in the Amplified also. But the Lord was with Joseph, And he, though a slave, was successful and a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. We know that Joseph was the second youngest of 12 brothers. And he was his father's favorite. So his brothers did not like him. Matter of fact, they hated him. And they plotted to kill him. And they threw him in a well and then sold him into slavery. His new owners carried Joseph to Egypt. And there they put him on the slave block and they sold him. There he was falsely accused, locked in a dungeon, and horribly mistreated. This is the man that the Bible says was successful. Let's look at some of the facts of his life. For years, he had to fight for everything he got. It seemed like every time he earned his way to the top or earned his way to respect, something would happen. The devil would bring a crisis into his life, and it seems like he would have to start all over again. This painful process lasted for years. And yet the Bible says he was successful. Let me just ask you. Let's put ourselves in Joseph's place. Family has rejected us. Brothers have sold us. Told daddy that I was dead. Been sold into slavery. Stand on the slave block. Have to strip down naked to be sure that when they examine me, I don't have any sores. I don't have any diseases. How many of you think that standing there, Joseph says, successful. Look at me. What was going on with Joseph? How could he manage to even come up with any courage to even keep going? This went on for years. But God had a plan. Joseph stayed faithful to his faith in God. He stayed faithful in his worship. Looking at Joseph's story and the dreams that he had, was it just the dreams that he had that kept him going? I don't think so. I think what kept Joseph going is he knew that God would never leave him, never forsake him, but would go with him all the way to the end. And finally, we read the story that lasted for years, and yet God wasn't finished, and God placed him where he had planned all along. He placed him in an incredible leadership position that allowed him to save not only his own people, but the entire known world at that time. His story is a story of what I call true biblical success. It's a supernatural story of a miraculous grace that has encouraged men and women for thousands of years. But let's remember the scripture that we just read about Joseph being a success was long before the end of the story. The scripture that we read wasn't after Joseph was in leadership and not at the top and not after the plan was already finished, but it was during that time of crucial circumstances that he was walking through that the Bible says, and Joseph was a successful man. Joseph was a slave in a strange land, no family, no dad to talk to. He's all alone, and the people in this new land, they even serve a different God. They serve false gods. He's the only one. I'll be honest with you. If I was faced with that situation, I don't know. I don't know if I could have done it. because I have faced a whole lot less circumstances than that and wondered if God was mad at me and wondered where God was. But the Bible tells us that even in the place that Joseph found him as, that God declared that this man, this son, was a success. You see, there's nothing that can stop. Listen closely. There's nothing that can stop the favor of God on your life. We need to say that together. There is nothing that can stop the favor of God on your life. Well, Pastor, what about my sin? Sorry. Jesus' grace is bigger and greater than your sin. I said the favor of God, the favor of God cannot be stopped. When you evaluate your life and circumstances based on how the world defines success, it's so easy to miss what God is doing in your life. There's only one reason the Bible called Joseph a success, and it was only because the Lord was with him. It wasn't because Joseph was doing great things and seeing dreams and doing. It was because the Lord was with him. Now, as you and I look at our lives this morning, I pray that we don't look at how the world measures success and wonder if I'm successful or not. Instead, let's declare that we're successful because Jesus is with me. I am a successful pastor because Jesus is with me. Not about how many people come to church. Amen? One moment in the presence of God can do for you what years of effort could never accomplish through your own strength. When you began to live in the presence of God, when you began to expect God's favor to be with you wherever you go, your life will be transformed because you're expecting the favor of God. We should, by the way, as Christians, we should be expecting the favor of God. Not the wrath of God. I grew up expecting the wrath of God, not the favor of God. Success is not what we seek. Success is what we become as the favor of God flows into our lives. Jesus is the blessing that we cannot earn, and the favor of God we cannot explain, but with his presence, you and I cannot lose. We win. We win with his presence. Well, I said I wasn't going to be through at 12, and I'm going to make it. His favor in your life can open and swing open doors of opportunity and put you at the right place at the right time. Even if you think you're not qualified, even if you think you're not smart enough, even if you think you can't do it, God's favor can change it. Remember, there's two ways, and we've been talking about this the past few weeks, there's two ways we can live our lives, in the flesh or in the spirit. The flesh has very limited success. Does have some. Flesh can accomplish some things, but in the end, it will always fail. But the spirit walk has completely 100% success. Now let me explain. That doesn't mean that everything is going to go right. Success in God's word is not measured if you feel good or if you're happy. Success is measured on what he's saying, what direction he's leading. So there's times in our life we may not be comfortable. Do you think Joseph was comfortable? Joseph was miserable. He didn't have a paycheck. He didn't have a wardrobe. He didn't have a toothbrush. He didn't have a pair of shoes. He was stripped down to nothing, and yet God's word says he's successful. I don't know about you, but to me the choice seems to be clear this morning that we need to decide that we're going to lean upon the strong arm of the Lord. We're going to lean upon his unmerited favor in every part of our life. My marriage is not successful because Linda and I are happy. By the way, we're happy. Last time I checked with her, she was happy. That's not success. Our marriage is successful because the Lord is with us. Not how happy I am. Amen? Well, what about my family? Let me just tell you, folks, some of you in this room this morning, you've got kids that are away from God. I'm proclaiming in the name of Jesus that your family is going to be successful because of who Jesus is. And they're going to come back to Jesus. Amen? Well, what about my job? I hate my job. What about my job? My job is not paying me very much. What about my job? They've got people on my job that I cannot stand. Your job is not your success. Now, some of you have got a job that does real good. Your job is still not your success. Your job is your opportunity. Is your opportunity to let Jesus be known. Your job is your opportunity to be successful and be content where you are. Did we not read that earlier? Huh? Be content with what you have. If we walk out of here with nothing else today, if we could walk out of here with just proclaiming that, I'm going to be content with what I have because the Lord is with me and he will never leave me, never forsake me. What about my ministry? Well, what about your ministry? Don't belong to you anyway. Your ministry belongs to the Lord. And you're successful because you put your trust and your faith in Christ. I just don't feel like I'm doing anything for the Lord. Well, why don't you just talk to him and be content with what you have and just have some more fellowship with him. You know, Joseph spent some miserable hours of his life in prison, working. His slave. I mean, understand, he was a slave. Everybody know what a slave is? You ain't nothing. No title. Yeah, I got a title. What's your title? I'm slave. But what are you in charge of? I don't know. He hadn't told me what to do today. And yet, he was successful because the Lord was with him. Let me close. We could go on and make the list, but anything that else that you have in life that you're involved in, you're successful if you're with the Lord. The reason why this can happen is because the word declared that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. And it is the presence of Jesus. It is the presence of the Almighty God. that makes you successful. Not awards. And I love awards. I don't know about y'all, but it's like, man, somebody gives me an award, I'll take it. I want to hang it on my wall. But that's not what success is. You got to fish with the president? Yes, I did. But I never won a tournament. I'm talking about a big one. You know what? I'm successful in the fishing world because he is with me. Not because of what I've done. Dave, you guys, go ahead and come. I want us to end with that song that they sang a while ago. But there's many people in this room this morning that you've already titled yourself a failure. You've already doomed yourself that you will never become the man or the woman that you want to be or that God wants you to be. Some of you have already put labels that it's as far as I'm going to go. For whatever reason, I'm too old, or I've had too much failure, I've gone through divorce, I got fired, I've got health problems, I've got health issues, so I can't do it anymore. Will you literally take the word of God as it is written? Be content with what you have, because I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. The way you do that, the way you change your mind is not just self-help. Not just a decision, oh, okay, I'm gonna try to do better. No. Do it the Bible way. Repent. Repent. Repentance means to turn and go a different direction. Repent means turn and go the right direction, not the wrong direction. Sin will always take you in the wrong direction. But turn this morning. Turn yourself around. Repent and receive the fact that Jesus is with you. And he says you are a successful person. Will you receive the word of the Lord this morning? If you will, I'll ask you to go forth in the power and the might of his word today. Be content with what you have. Can we do that? Can we do that? Okay, Lord, I don't really like what I got. No, that's not what he's being content. It's not, woe me. It's being content because you have the master in your corner. You've got the master in your life. You've got the one that made the heavens and the earth in your life. You've got the one that died for you and was put to death and was resurrected on the third day. That's who you have that you can say, I'm successful. Will you stand and sing this with Dave and the praise team this morning? The altars are always open. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, will you receive him today? Will you accept him today? Will you repent of your sins? Will you acknowledge that you need him and he will save you today? Let's sing it together.